Ready?
Blog Talk Radio.
About 3 or 4 minutes left with the program. I want you to make sure the music is running. Okay.
When we're all done, make sure music's still running, right?
Yeah. So we're gonna see it's like 12:25. Go in and make sure there's music playing. That way I have something to fade into.
You hear the music now, right?
No.
You don't?
Well, shalom, shalom. Welcome to Late Night in the Word, an outreach ministry of Olive Branch Ministries International based in Ashworth, Georgia, just northwest of Atlanta. We're a Hebraic roots ministry. Our pastor is Richard Weintraub, and we'll be broadcasting for the next 30 minutes over Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to us via our webpage, www.olivebranchonline.org, or if you want to contact us at Blog Talk Radio via the telephone, write this down. It's 347-850-1420. Or you can email us at the word contact at olivebranchonline.org. If you have a question, if you want to join in on the conversation as we study God's Word. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Pastor Yahweh, Pastor Keith Brooks.
Thank you, Robert. Welcome to all of you out there in the internet and airwaves. We appreciate you listening in. And I want to jump right into Ephesians chapter 4. There's something going on, I think, a lot of different things in the earth. But I think when we're talking to the greater audience that we have in front of us, and we're looking over the nature of things that are going on in the earth, in this country in particular, and in the state of the church, I don't know if people recognize that we have a problem, but I think we do have a problem in our midst. And used to a long time ago point fingers at all the different churches out there. But I think it's a we problem. And it's because of the way we've trained ourselves in the particular culture that we live in. And our culture, the American culture, has influenced the world. And we have trained everyone else to think like we do. And therefore, it is a we problem. We're all in the same boat, I would think. And I see it in Ephesians chapter 4. And I just want to go after it a little bit and then maybe transfer over to something else. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Somebody read it.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Now, right away, what's being established by Paul is a reality that I find we need to be very specific about for ourselves. The first word he uses is prison. Now, what kind of imagery do you get when you think of the word prison?
Someone who's held in captivity.
Does that person have rights?
Yeah, it's against their will.
Against their will. Or with their own will, but they've given up their will, in essence. They have no freedom. of movement by their own accord, for their own accord, for their own purpose. So this is one of the men that the worldwide church looks to as the author of Christianity. And he's calling himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing, amazing statement. And it's important to read it because he is framing the foundation of his thoughts that are coming up upon that very reality. I am a prisoner with no rights, no will of my own, and I'm here to express this thought to you. I want you to walk worthy of the vocation that you've been called to. Well, what is the vocation? Because if our highest author outside of Jesus is calling himself a prisoner to the Lord Jesus and the gospel, who are we underneath him?
We are the fellow, same thing, fellow prisoners.
Fellow prisoners. And what is our vocation?
Prisonhood.
Well, let's make sure you're getting into the mic there.
Prisonhood.
What is prisonhood in the midst of the kingdom of God?
In the kingdom of God, you're doing what you are assigned to do, whether it be laboring in the field with people, whether it be laboring for those people, the system in whatever way it is, searching the scriptures, providing food, da 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 da. So things like that.
Okay. Robert, you had a thought.
Yeah, it's rather interesting that he states it this way based on the fact that we're being called to service, to God's service, and he could have easily used a military example, called to service. You know, I mean, dude, we're soldiers now, but that's not what he did.
What did he do? He used the prison system.
He used the prison system and a more humbling position.
Correct. And that's what this is about. Because he's getting ready to walk into something that is absolutely important for the Gentile nations, because humility is a hard reality for us in the nations. Well, it's hard for humanity. But what was taking place was the rise of the Gentile pride. And that's what was going on in Ephesus, the rise of Gentile pride. It was going on in Corinthians. That's why Paul had to tell them, it doesn't matter. I'm Paul. You got Apollos. One says they're baptized by one, the other by the other. It doesn't matter. We're both servants working in the fields for our Lord. Whether it's me or him, what does it matter? You got baptized unto him. It's not got anything to do with me. I'm a prisoner. I am a slave to his will. Now, when we move to this next verse, we start to get character qualities. And I want you to really pay attention to this, because these character qualities are absolutely important when we start talking about body life, when we start talking about brotherhood, and we start talking about churches, and we start talking about denominations, and how you're supposed to relate to inside the family of God. We're not even talking about how to be in front of an unbelieving person. What we're talking about here is interfamily relationships and how we hold the family together by our behavior and our character. So what does verse 2 say?
With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
So lowliness is what?
Humility.
I am the least.
Yep. Taking the lowest position.
So what does that mean in practical terms?
Wow. True humility.
And the fact that we don't know how to answer this question is part of the problem. How do you express the character of lowliness in the midst of the body? Do you have specific examples, things that you do when you're around the body that express I'm the least?
Being a servant.
Being a servant. How about taking the last seat? But paying attention to who needs help. And instead of using the time to serve yourself, you use your time to serve the person.
So is that what it means to be the least?
It can. There's a lot of people who have a great deal of capacity who never consider that their capacity could be used for another instead of constantly being used for themselves.
Because we esteem ourselves more than...
Yes, we do.
We don't have his view. That's why we don't look at ourselves in his way. We just look at our way and what the world's defined us as.
Correct.
And not only, you know, should we be able to speak for maybe ways that we do it, but we should have examples of our brothers and sisters
who
and
do
be able
it.
To instantly say, okay, like this sister over here does this and this brother over there does that.
Right.
And not that to some extent it doesn't happen, but we don't notice it because we aren't esteeming each other, we aren't preferring each other, we're not doing a lot of things that we should be doing.
What about just in speech? How many people like to talk and never spend a moment to serve another person by listening? Or how many prefer not to talk and would never consider that the lowly servant would step into another person's life who doesn't talk and needs ministry and use their mouth to minister?
Right, the servanthood of being a messenger.
It's all kinds of different avenues, but the key is that you're not going to be selfish and motivated for self. You're purposed to be a minister. Now, lowliness, by its very definition, extends you into paying attention to other people.
It has nothing to do with you.
Correct. Now, that doesn't mean you just stop being. What it means is, I'm lowly. My position now is as servant or prisoner. I'm here, as Brandon said, I'm here to be assigned to a task. And in general, the overarching task that we have by the command of Jesus is to go and make disciples of all nations, which means in my lowly position, everyone I'm around is an opportunity for ministry. Which means I have to be paying attention to people. If I'm a prisoner of the Lord, it's not about me, like you said. Therefore, if I'm around people, I need to be constantly praying and saying, Holy Spirit, who? What do you want me to notice? Are you paying attention to people? You can't pay attention to people if you're all about yourself. Now I could be speaking to individuals, but I could also be speaking to entire churches. I think the Spirit could be speaking. I'm going to put it that way. The Spirit could be speaking to individuals, and the Spirit could be teaching entire churches in this. An entire church is also lowly, or supposed to be, because they're in Christ.
I found a good example from the Gospel of Jesus explaining this in John 21:18 with Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now, Jesus is talking about something very specific for Peter, but it's completely different change from where Peter's been up to this point. So Jesus is looking, or he's speaking and prophesying a complete transformation from where Peter's known life, what Peter's known life to be, and to what it's going to be.
And what was it going to be?
I like when it goes on. Verse 19 says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." So I can see that the absolute humility glorifies God.
Okay.
So if we're following what Paul says also, then we're glorifying God by being humble or being lowly.
Okay, what's the next word? Meekness. Anybody know what meekness means? If you want to give us a call and tell us what meekness is, our phone number is... What do you got there?
Is
347-850-1420.
And you can also give us a text on Twitter, Olive Branch Ministries on Twitter. And you can also, you know, chat us up in the Blog Talk chat if you want to say hello and shalom, or if you want to submit a question or anything like that.
Amen. The word meek means power under control, someone who has capacity, who is choosing to allow themselves to be led. There's a lot of people in this category, I think, of having power, having authority, having passion, but you have to allow that passion to be directed and to be reined in and controlled in a moment so it doesn't go about loosely, it's directed. And this is for everyone, really. We all have strengths. We all have capacities. But when we're in Christ, we learn in our submission to allow Him to utilize those as He wills, not in whatever method we deem necessary for the moment because of whatever's going on. The next word is long-suffering. Why do we need long-suffering when we're dealing with the body?
Because we're not going to get instant results.
Because people don't change.
Yes.
And that's really the case. People do not change. And you need to get this inside of you. People don't change overnight. Sometimes they don't change at all. Are you someone who walks with the Lord, who sees the end and knows the extents, knows the decisions people have inside of them to make? So He's not disturbed by the lack of change. He's not disturbed because someone doesn't get something, because He's in His will to accomplish His purpose with a person over a long period of time, because His intention is to win the entire war, not just have a moment where the person who had a little of the emotions and that was it. He understands that it takes time for convictions and words to become real inside of a person. Are you, having been connected to the Holy Spirit and to the living God and the will of God and the gospel of God, are you moving in the same long suffering with Him? The next one, similar, forbearing one another in love. So one of the things about all these words is they have to do with how you relate to people. But why is Paul so focused on how we relate to people? Because the church's purpose is to reveal the glory of God. And the glory of God is revealed in the Son. John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, God loved the world and He sent His Son. So His Son, yes, died, but His Son also lived. And it's His life. It's His convictions. It's His steadfastness. It's His love for the Father that revealed the character of God. And with every moment that He was faithful to that character, the Father's character is glorified in the earth. As we watch Jesus, we are watching the Father, as He told the disciples. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So if I'm faithful, He's faithful. If I speak and it comes to pass, He speaks and it comes to pass. If I resurrect somebody, He resurrects somebody. If I do a miraculous thing with water, He does a miraculous thing with water. Everything you see Me do, My Father's doing. And doesn't it stand to reason, if you are using and borrowing the same character as Christ, that every single one of those moments also is glorifying the Father. Do you recognize your role? Because if we spend our time fighting in the midst of the body, we're not glorifying God. We're glorifying the kingdom of this world and its ruler, which is the devil, and his authorship of flesh life inside of our own soul. Selfishness is of the earth and of the devil and the kingdom of darkness. If I live in selfishness, who am I glorifying?
Not God.
Not God. I'm glorifying me. But in glorifying me, who am I glorifying?
The devil.
I'm glorifying the devil who lied to me. And he loves it because he's getting some glory for himself. And most people don't even know that they're giving the glory to the devil. That's amazing. So we get all of this forbearance and long-suffering and lowliness and meekness, and that you walk worthy, and I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and all of it arrives us at verse 3. Endeavoring, endeavoring, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, right away we know he's talking to a group, and right away we know that there's something that the group is centered on, which is the Spirit, and that the Spirit is facilitating a bond, a covenant of peace amongst this body of people. But we usually miss the first word of this verse, which is endeavor. Now, I don't know what you know about the word endeavor. Endeavor is like adventure. Endeavor is I'm going on a long travel to accomplish a particular goal. People went on an endeavor to reach the North Pole, and they went through all of these things to arrive there. And the main thing that they did was they steeled their minds and their hearts on arriving there, and they stayed focused on that as they accomplished the details to get them there. And they always kept the end result in mind. Now, I have a feeling that we spend more of our time endeavoring to satisfy our earthly lusts than we do endeavoring to be in the midst of people and keep peace, speak peace, love people in peace, develop peace. Move someone away from chaos into peace. Recognize that my brother is entering into sin, which is not peace, and step into their vicinity and work with them and pray for them so they come out of that direction of sin, which is unrest or the product of unrest, and move them back towards the truth where there is rest and the glorification of our Father who is in heaven. This is our role. This is our heart. This should be the focus. Now, we start talking about something very direct, and that's Hebraic roots. And we start talking about denominations and theology. And when we get into these realms of theology and denominations, all of a sudden, where is the church? Is the church endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace?
No, not in this time that we are in.
Not in our current age. I'm not sure if ever there has been an age where denominations were focused on endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think theology, by its very definition, and the very searching for answers that man is on, it takes us into division. It has not created one heart after the Lord. It's created a lot of opinionations, a lot of hurts, a lot of division, and certainly it's taken away from our ability as a body of Christ to glorify God in a community. I think of Ackworth, Georgia. Ackworth has, I believe, if I counted correctly, 55 churches that are registered, maybe add another 40 that aren't, so somewhere around 100 churches in it, and that's not a very big town. How many of those churches are laboring together to win the lost? Laboring together to disciple people. God. Laboring together to broadcast the gospel. Yes. If it's happening, I don't know about it. And like I said, this is a small town. It's not a big town. So it would not be hard to miss if 10 of those churches were out on the streets every weekend together.
Yeah, can you imagine how many people we'd have to go on outreach on Saturday and Sunday if we could go around and get conscripts from all these churches to go on outreach with us?
Can you imagine? But yeah. What would
the
happen?
The mall would be overwhelmed. Downtown Atlanta would be overwhelmed.
What would happen, though? What would be the first order of business if you arrived at Church A to ask if there's anybody?
Well, in reality, they would want to know who we are.
Yes. And if I say, I believe in Jesus, if I believe in Jesus, that's not enough.
Right. Yeah, like Jesus said, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was what he said was enough. To
so
have him
why,
come back again.
So my concern is that this division that we have in the midst starts on the individual level. You have one person who's selfishly motivated, points the finger at people, wants to have an accusation, doesn't want to take responsibility for themselves, define themselves in the reality of the scriptures properly. I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. I have died with him, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, and I no longer live. It's him who lives in me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If I'm defining myself correctly and I know my role, that I am truly a prisoner, then I am not going to be going into the avenues of selfishness and finger-pointing and accusations and judgments on people. My role now as a believer in Jesus is moving away from the carnal self-pursuit into the spiritual laid-down life. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to hear myself talk. I'm not here to express my mind. I'm not here to demand my own way. I'm not here to argue and be argumentative and have something to say when the scripture tells me it's better just to be quiet. This is our problem in the church today. We have been trained to think theologically, argue theologically, and not worry about a human being that's on the other side of our conversation. So we have 90 seconds left with Blog Talk Radio. I'll have Robert close us down for the top of the hour.
Thank you very much for listening to Blog Talk Radio tonight. If you want to continue listening to the Bible study, you can switch over to our website at www.olivebranchonline.org. And the phone number there to be in contact with us is 631-533-4099. We appreciate you listening to this broadcast, as always. We'll be here every Thursday night and Saturday night from 11:30 to midnight on Block Talk, and then from 12 o'clock till 12:30 on the Olive Branch web page. So we thank you for listening. As always, we say shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
And let's continue. I want to read verse 4. Because I think that if we were stronger in our properly built personal house, I know who rules my house. I know who I am in my house. I am a son, and in my sonship, I am moving through Philippians 2:5. I don't have my own mind. I have the mind.